summer, as a rule, we go in and plant about 10 acres of milo maize or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, it come up, it didn't grow only about so high and have a head about so long on it, see, go across. Well, when we got through in the fall, why, we would just turn the whole bunch of horses and cattle out there and let them eat it up.
Oh, boy, I think they got fat.
Oh, they get fat quick. The only thing you have to be a little careful not let them have too much of it at once. And in the fall, your horses are always, you know, worked down and poor, and then let them run out there for about 30 days, you know, maybe get them fat and slick.
You know. You have to be careful not to step on the doves and the quail, huh?
And let the hogs go right along with them, and what goes through, the hogs fix it up, you know.
Where did you keep your cows?
Well, we always milked inside. We had stanchions. We milked inside.
But in the barn?
Yeah, but we didn't keep them in there overnight. We'd always turn them out and let them go to shed on this cowboy car. And we always put another thing. We always had a great big straw pile that we put in this feedlot. Because mm-hmm. they don't have straw piles anymore. These combines don't make straw piles.
Yeah, they turn it up into just dust, don't they?
Yeah, they just spread it right on the field as they go, see.
But did you have a place near your barn where you could pen up the cows?
You mean, we had a lot. We had a lot back of our barn, you see. That we always penned all the cattle in on the nights.
Mm-hmm. And, did you ever stake your cows outside around there for milking, or was it always done in the barn and the stanchions?
We always milked in a barn. We before we had the stanchions, we used to just milk them in there in a shed, you see. Uh-huh. Of course, we couldn't milk any of them outside if we wanted to. Uh-huh. If you know how to take care of cattle and know how to take care of horses, you don't have any trouble. A lot of fellows, you know, have trouble getting their horses in, you know, and getting them to do things. Well, my teams, I had some mighty fine horses out there on the place and some good stuff. If you just bring those cows in and give them just a little bit of something to eat every night, don't you see? And whenever them horses comes up, whether you're going to use them that day or not, put them in, give them little oats, don't you see? Shoot, you go down in the mornings instead of having to go clear over to the fur in the field after them. They're out there, they're down there sticking their heads over one end, see? And they'll go into their place, and I know we sold, my dad gave my sister a couple of cows when they were married, and they didn't have any in stanchions. But they had a little old shed. Well, them cows would try to get their heads out through every crack of the place, you know. But the reason people had trouble with they were so many people, so many men were so mean to their stuff. Mm-hmm. And I broke many a mule. We used to raise a lot of them. And shoot, it's no job to break a mule, or no job to break a horse. If you'll just be kind to them and patient enough to learn them what you want them to do. But if you go in there and you go to licking the hell out of them, mm-hmm. They get mad at you and they don't give a hoop whether they do anything to suit you or not.
Said old saw about catching flies with honey and catching them with vinegar.
Yeah. Yeah, you take, I had a team of mares there that weighed about 1,600 apiece, and I'd go down in the wintertime to you know, get up the logs for our circle saw. Mm-hmm. Shoot, I'd work, I'd go down there to that team of mares for a day at a time, never take the lines down. Hmm. All I'd ever do is just snap together so that they couldn't one go on one side of the tree and one on the other, you see. And of course somebody always had to handle the chain and the double trees back up. I could take the chain and double trees and